and 16 is an example of what Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven, where the Lord said in Matthew 11, verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." So that's chapter 15 and 16. You can just see this king's fighting that king. They're having a war here, a war there, back and forth. And then 17, I think we obviously get into something more, interesting. I guess you could say we get into Elijah. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Thank you for the young men that came today. It's kind of like Elijah, you telling him he had 7,000, and we would have never known Nate. Thanks for leading him over here. And I pray you'd give him direction about what to do. I don't know of a Bible believer over in that area. Used to be a guy in Elkhart, but I know he's not there. And I just pray that you'd give him direction. And I pray that this time we can just understand a little bit more of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Kings 15. We did Rehoboam last time. Okay, this is Rehoboam's dead in chapter 14:31. And 1 and 2 Kings, this is a narrative. And then 1 and 2 Chronicles would be the public records. So this is the, in 18:1 or 15:1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijah over Judah. Okay, so that Abijah, 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, by very short. Mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. But unfortunately, he walked in all the sins of his father, okay, Rehoboam, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Obviously, the word father can be grandfather and so forth. So that's the narrative about David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem. So children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren reap benefits from their parents that do right. And the same holds true for children, that when their parents do wrong, then the children suffer from that wrongdoing. So, I believe that this is not a motivation for me trying to be faithful and serve the Lord, but I believe that when I am doing that, my grandparents on both sides of my family, now I never met my mom's mom, because she died in 1949. But I do believe it says in Proverbs 17:6 that children's children are the crown of old men. And so what I can do for my grandparents even today is to remain faithful to the Lord, and then some of that reward goes on their account because of their faithfulness. Now, my mom's side, I don't know what kind of religious structure they had. It wasn't Quakers. It was a house church. It was kind of weird. And I think mom was the only one of the siblings that stayed in church. Maybe another one did, because it was just a little odd. You know, and but on dad's side, it was Dutch Reformed. And then after dad got saved, we went to the community Bible. We started a community Bible church in DeMott. And then grandpa said to my dad, they were very close on my dad's side. And so grandpa said to dad, "Wasn't your upbringing good enough?" And that's often what a parent feels when you understand the religious structure's not good. And so my dad just assured him, no, it was wonderful upbringing. And dad's got some funny stories. I mean, I played a couple of them at his funeral. And so, but then grandpa and grandma Eventually would come to the community Bible church on Sunday night, and he would tell my dad that he learns Bible here that he doesn't get at the Dutchie church. And my grandfather got saved 3 years before his death. Okay, and I would witness to my grandmother, and I would see the look on her face, the eyes kind of pop and glass over. Well, I'm a good person. Now, my grandmother on Dad's side got saved here 3 years before her death. And that was 12 years after Grandpa, because they were 12 years apart. Grandpa was born 1893, and then Grandma's 1905. But she got saved here. She got baptized here, my grandma. And so, but yet her son, my dad's oldest brother, Bill, was a Dutch Reformed dominie, a pastor. And so he didn't want to admit that Grandma got saved. So at the funeral, he said that Grandma was really having a nervous, something about 3 years ago, and that's when she got saved. And so, so I believe that, as my dad is obviously gone and my grandparents, that their account in heaven is still being given credits for me living in pleasing the Lord. That's the best thing I could do for him. Best thing I can. And so in this case, David's living right was passed down to the generation here on earth. And then it says in the middle of the verse, it says, to set up his son after him to establish Jerusalem, because David which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. And then, comma, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So that's it. And of course, that's what Hollywood brags or glorifies about David's life. And Nathan did tell him that. Nathan told David that, man, your enemies are going to take advantage of this. So there was that time with David. And then verse 6, this is exactly what Jesus said, that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. So 6, there was a war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. And of course, it's not between those two. They used the soldiers as pawns to fulfill their bidding. That's, to me, that's one of the most annoying things in the world, is American politicians, and then how they dump these soldiers to the VA, and they suffer so much for it. Let's help me. Here's a fella that's trying to join the military, and he talked to me, and he said he learned that if you sign a religious exemption or file a religious exemption before you sign the documents, you have more power, and you could turn down all those vaccines that they make the soldiers do. And so I sent him the document, and I had to send him one other thing, and everything seems pretty good. He said, you can't do it after you sign. You have to do it before. And so that religious exemption that I've signed, and that thing has batted 1,000 all through COVID, even a year ago here at Lowell High School. I mean, and it's kept some, during COVID, it kept a couple women in their nursing school on their jobs, kept a couple kids at university, and they want to go to church here. But that religious exemption works. And all it is one piece of paper telling why we don't want to put something in our body we don't want in our body. And we have a Bible basis for it. And so that's a blessing. That is a heritage that we've been given in our country by the previous generations and the founding fathers. Okay, then verse 7. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah and all that he did, are they not written in a book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So that's the two that we have in our Bible. The Chronicles of the Kings of Israel are not in the Bible. That's the public records. And then again, there was a war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So things don't change. The kingdom of heaven operates by violence. and a violent taken by force. And then Abijam slept with his fathers, and again, under the Old Testament covenant, rest in peace. Their bodies slept, not their soul. Okay, and then they buried him in the city of David, so that's Bethlehem, that's the 10 acres right beside Jerusalem. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Now, Asa would be a good name of a king because they got a lot of sign, a lot of documents. So just Asa. Can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar? You got to sign all those documents. And so now Asa, it says, in 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. He's a good man. His mother's name, Maacah, the daughter of Abba, is Shalom. And if the idea of sodomy, transgender, homo stuff comes up, and they'll say stuff like this, and I get the opportunity, I'll read them verse 11. And I say, Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father did. And I'll ask the person after you read that, I said, now, did Asa do right? I don't let him read the next verse. Did he do right? Yes. Did David do right also? Yes. So we can agree that both these men did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. So let's read the next verse to see what was one thing they did that was right in the eyes of the Lord. And, so that's connecting the verse, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. Oh, he had a blessing. Took them out of the land. So, yeah. Now, sodomy in the Bible is, I don't believe it's limited to the homosexual thing. I do believe it includes the transgender movement. And the whole transgender idea is an outflow of fallen angels cohabiting with women so that they can develop a different species. And that's all part of it. Of course, the transgender people are just, you know, they're just pawns. They're just pawns. They're just, and I read this account about this mother who tried to follow the system. You know, her son was pretending to be a cat. He identified to be a cat, and she researched it, and she'd take him to a vet. And he goes through puberty. Now he's 16. Now he wants to identify as a human. And it's like, are you kidding? And I forget John Money, if you ever read that account, John Money was the pioneer of this transgender stuff. And so he was a psychologist and a doctor, and there was a couple, there's a family in Canada that had twin boys, and they did circumcision on the boys, and the one boy, I guess they really messed it up, so he advised the parents, he was looking for a test case, so he advised the parents to raise the other one as a girl. That's how all this started back in the 60s, 60s and 70s. So they raised this boy as a girl. He did not know it. He was a girl the whole time. Then he starts going through puberty and something isn't right. He figures it out. And you know, both those twin boys died suicides. That's what that program does. Okay, and so, yeah, that's how it all started. Jordan Peterson kind of lets that be known. John Money is the rascal. And there's another guy online, I forget his name, Walt somebody, who did the transitioning and then changed his mind on it. And he says he's a Christian. Maybe he is. I have no idea. And so he tells people of the truth of it and the hidden dangers of it. So, but I believe all of that stuff goes back to the sons of God coming into the daughters of men, Genesis 6, Jude 7, strange flesh, where they're trying to integrate fallen angels women, animals, all together to create confusion, because fornication is the sin that is a tangled web that's hard to overcome. That's how devils have connections with people. And it gives an inner road between the perpetrator and the victim. But we have the wonderful power in the New Testament of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that closes that door, so all those devils in the perpetrator now do not have access to their victim. And the blood of Jesus Christ cuts that. The same goes with hypnotism. Okay, where a hypnotist, if the hypnotist has a dark agenda, when somebody yields to the hypnotism, that gives an open door back and forth. Now, sometimes hypnotism, I don't know. I remember having this in high school. They had, in high school, remember we'd have these special sessions in high school where somebody would come in? And this hypnotist had talked to three kids, and then there was supposed to be something that this person said, this hypnotist said, and the girl that he hypnotized would be sitting in the audience, and when he hit that trigger button, then she stood up and yelled, "I gotta go to the bathroom!" For no reason. But that hypnotism is a means into the life of another party, if the hypnotist really has a dark agenda. But all that can be cut through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So a lot of times you hear of people who've been messed with and all this stuff continues because there's an open door between the perpetrator and the victim, and all of that can be cleaned through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But no counselor is going to tell these people this. So Asa did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. He took him out of the land. But this comes right back into society, because that's what Josiah had him right next to the temple when he had the great revivals in the temple. So this is a common theme that we could notice. Now, the idea of idols, idolatry and everything, under the Old Testament, they most certainly can take care of that. In the New Testament, we don't have that quite that liberty, but in a person's life, it's your property. Yes, you need to get rid of those idols. You know, that Mary statue up here in 41, I just wish some drunk would take a paintball gun and just plug that thing. But of course, they're going to be arrested, and I don't encourage that. But even at that, so that's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. So, okay, we're going to stop there and let's go and pray. Nate, thank you for your testimony. Lord, I do thank you for your blessings, and I do pray that you'd guide Nate in his life where you want him to land. Help him find a church if he can't find something close. Lord, I just pray that you might bless him in this matter. I thank you they brought Isaac along today. It's a blessing meeting these young men. And I just thank you for these folks. Thank you for the kindness of these people toward us and our day. And I just pray you'd just bless Jan and Heidi and the boys. In Jesus' name, amen.